In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. I'm sure you can all think of a time that you were amazed. I'm sure you can all think of a time that you were in absolute awe over something that someone did. Maybe you were watching a show like America's Got Talent, and some singer or magician or some high wire act caused your jaw to hit the floor. Maybe you were watching a football game, and you just can't believe how a person that big can move that fast. Maybe it's closer to home. Maybe it's a spouse, a parent, a child. Maybe you're amazed at the love, the kindness, the faithfulness that they showed you in a certain situation. Or maybe it was today. Maybe it was when you heard our text read from Numbers chapter 21. Maybe it's when you heard again this familiar story of the bronze snake. For I must admit that every time I hear this story from Numbers 21, the story of the bronze snake, I must admit that I'm amazed. For first off in this story, I'm amazed at the Israelites. I'm amazed at what they did. I'm amazed at how they kept complaining. For you know everything the Lord God had already done for his people, the Israelites, by this time, right? The Israelites, God's chosen people, had been slaves in Egypt. For hundreds of years, they had been slaves in Egypt. And their condition as slaves was only getting worse. The Egyptians were demanding more and more and more from them. They were demanding that they work harder with less privileges. They even were taking their baby boys and throwing them into the Nile River. Talk about an oppression. And so the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They begged the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord, he delivered them. In fact, he delivered them in such a way that it showed the Israelites that it was not by their own doing that they were delivered, but it was simply by the grace and mercy of God. You know this story. For not only did the Lord send a series of plagues upon the Egyptians, from water turning into blood to gnats and flies or darkness covering the whole land, not only did these plagues culminate in the death of the firstborn son, where every Egyptian firstborn son was put to death, all while the Israelites' firstborn son were saved through the blood of the lamb that was painted on their doorframes. But finally, the Lord God completely delivered his people at the Red Sea, where the Israelites were able to pass through the waters of the Red Sea on dry ground, all while those waters came crashing down on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, killing them all. That's quite the deliverance, isn't it? And God's deliverance didn't stop there. But as they journeyed to the promised land, God continued to show grace and mercy and delivered his people. Think of the manna, which was there on the ground every single morning, this heavenly food, this miraculous food that sustained their life. Think of how their clothes did not get holes in them, and their sandals did not get worn out, even as they were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. Think of how when a foreign nation attacked them, and they would be victorious. In fact, sometimes they would be so victorious in these wars that not even one single Israelite would die. Talk about a deliverance. Truly, God had been good and gracious to his people. He had showered them with an amazing amount of blessing. And yet, even though God had been so good to his people, delivering them and showering them with blessing upon blessing, what did these Israelites, who whom God had never left or abandoned? What did these Israelites, whom God had showered with mercy, what did these Israelites who had seen gracious act after gracious act of the Lord, what did these Israelites do? They started to complain, as they had many times before. They complained to God, for they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Look, there is no food, there is no water, and we are disgusted by this worthless food." And when I read that, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how they could complain despite all the blessings God had given them. Aren't you? For aren't you amazed that they would want to go back to Egypt where their baby boys were being thrown into the Nile River? Aren't you amazed that they would complain about this miracle food of heaven that was raining down every morning and sustaining their life? Aren't you amazed at how ungrateful they were, even though the Lord, out of his grace, was showering them with blessings? And perhaps most of all, as you hear the Israelites complaining, aren't you amazed at how you do the very same thing today? Because just like these Israelites, God has been so good and so gracious to you. He has showered you with so many blessings. After all, by nature, you were a slave, right? You were a slave to sin, to death, and the devil. It's why in our second lesson from Ephesians, Paul called us dead in our sins. And this slavery to sin, death, and the devil, this slavery is far worse than the Israelites' slavery in Egypt. This slavery gives you no hope. It gives you no peace. It gives you absolutely no joy, for by nature you are controlled by the devil. All you can do is sin, and the only thing you can look forward to is dying for all eternity in the fires of hell. That's the slavery, the oppression that all people are under, the slavery to sin, death, and the devil. And so, like the Israelites, you cried out to the Lord. You begged the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord, he delivered you, right? He delivered you in a miraculous way to show that it was not by anything that you had done, but it was simply by his grace and mercy that you're saved. For not only did God himself take on human flesh in the womb of his virgin mother, not only did God himself use that flesh and blood to fulfill the law in your place, not only did God himself hang and bleed and die for you on a cross, but now that God has risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, God himself is guiding and directing every aspect of your life, also that at the perfect time and perfect place, he could save you through water like he saved the Israelites. Only he saves you through the water of your baptism, where all evil was drowned in you and you were raised to this new life with Christ. And now as you're on your journey to the promised land of heaven, the Lord God is miraculously providing for you and miraculously protecting you, not only physically, but also spiritually. He's keeping you safe from all of the devil's attacks, also that you can remain faithful even to the point of death and one day inherit eternal life in heaven. Talk about a deliverance, right? The Lord God has been so good to you. He has been so gracious to you. And yet, what do you do? All too often, you whom the Lord has graciously delivered, you whom the Lord has never left or abandoned, you whom the Lord miraculously provides for and protects, all too often, you complain. You complain just like the Israelites complained. You complain to God about everything he's doing for you, for you complain about those in authority that God in his infinite wisdom placed in charge over you. You complain about the sufferings or the crosses which God sends to you out of love. You complain about your spot in life, your finances, your job, your duties, your situation. Complain about all those things and more. And every time you are complaining here on earth, you're actually complaining against God, because he's the one who is so graciously showering you with all these blessings. And whenever you complain, whenever I complain, we all should be amazed. For just like we are amazed at how the Israelites could keep complaining despite all the gracious things that the Lord was doing for them, we should be amazed at how we keep complaining despite how gracious the Lord has been to us. God is so good, and at times we are so ungrateful. And so I'm amazed at all the complaining. I'm amazed at my complaining. I'm amazed at your complaining. I'm amazed at the complaining of the Israelites. But when I get amazed at how often we all complain, well, then I become amazed at something else as well. I become amazed at how gracious our God still is. For let's go back to our text. The Israelites were complaining against God. And so as punishment, God sent venomous snakes into their camp. And can you picture this? Can you picture stepping outside your tent and immediately getting bitten by a poisonous snake? Can you picture your kids going outside to play and immediately getting bitten by a poisonous snake? Can you picture these poisonous snakes inside your tent, on your couches, in your pots and pans, maybe even in your sleeping bags as you're trying to go to sleep? It's not fun to think about, right? For whenever one of these poisonous snakes bit the Israelites, they died, which is what they deserved because of how ungrateful they had been. And if that's what these Israelites deserved, to die by snake bite, well, then isn't it amazing how this story ends? For the Israelites cry out to the Lord once again, and the Lord, he has compassion. He has love. And so he tells Moses to build this bronze snake and put it on a pole. And we read, if a snake had bitten anyone, if that person looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And I'm amazed. First off, I'm amazed that actually looking at a bronze snake on a pole could heal you from a poisonous snake bite. It shows the power of God, but perhaps more, I'm amazed that God would still want to shower these people with grace despite all the complaining. That he would still provide a way out for them where they could be saved. What love, what grace. A love and a grace that brings me great comfort today. Because if God is so gracious that he would keep saving these Israelites despite all the complaining that they did, that means that God is so gracious that he keeps wanting to save me despite all the complaining I do. And the way that God saves me, the way that he saves you, is absolutely amazing. More amazing than a bronze snake on a pole. The way that God saves you, the way that he saves me, is that he himself hung on a cross to bleed and die for you. For as Jesus said to Nicodemus in our gospel lesson, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And And I'm amazed. I'm amazed when I think of God dying on a cross for me, and I hope you are as well. For God had no reason to save me or you. God especially had no reason to hang on a cross and bleed and die for you. And then after he did all of that and revealed himself to you and brought you to saving faith, and you still complain and still at times are ungrateful for all of his blessings, God certainly had no reason to keep on forgiving you. He certainly had no reason to keep on forgiving me. He should have abandoned us forever. It's what you deserve. It's what I deserve. It's what the Israelites deserved. But it's not what we get. Because God loves you. He loves me. He loved these Israelites. And so God hung on a cross. He hung on a cross just like that bronze snake hung on a pole. And he hung on a cross for you, for me, and for the entire world, so that whenever you sin, even when you are ungratefully complaining, whenever you sin, you just look at Jesus hanging on that cross for you, and you are immediately healed. You're spared from death, your sins are forgiven, and you are given life. Life that will last forever. What grace, what love. And so I'm amazed. I'm amazed at this story of the bronze snake. I'm amazed at the story of the entire scriptures. For any time I hear about God's grace, his undeserved love for sinners like you and me, any time I hear about what God would do out of his love to save us, I can't help but be amazed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin.